HiBridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Autism and Your Teen, Tips and Strategies for the Journey to Adulthood by Blythe Grossberg, Side D. Read by Gina Rogers. 1. 7 Messages for Parents of Teens and Young Adults on the Spectrum. This book is written to help you navigate the sometimes bumpy path of raising a child on the autism spectrum. Many books on the market discuss the initial steps of the long journey you will take guiding your child to adulthood, including your child's initial process of being diagnosed with autism and the process of getting services for your young child or school-age child. This book picks up where those books leave off and covers adolescence and the young adult years, ages 11 through 21 years. The chapters herein offer guidance for parents with children all along the spectrum and with differing levels of skills. Throughout, autism spectrum or autism spectrum disorder, ASD, will be used to refer to a group of developmental differences marked by difficulty with social interaction and communication and by repetitive behaviors and restricted interests. The spectrum includes people with autism and what was formerly known as Asperger's syndrome. The terms lower and higher functioning refer to the degree to which a person can speak and the degree to which the person's intelligence can be measured in a conventional manner. These terms are not meant to convey moral judgment, as those with lower functioning forms of autism can also have considerable talents. I also use different pronouns to refer to your child, including she and he, but this book is also inclusive of teens and young adults who are transgender or gender fluid. In writing this book, I want to acknowledge how complicated your children's journey to adulthood can be, and how confusing, rewarding, financially staggering, and bewildering it can be for you as the parent. I also want to acknowledge that although this book provides strategies and tools, there is no one right way to raise your child. You also don't need to feel guilty if you can't follow up on these suggestions. I find that a lot of burdens are placed on parents of teens and young adults with autism, and you are often asked by teachers, doctors, and other members of the community to do more, while you may also be holding down one or more jobs, caring for other children or parents, and trying to pay the bills. There is always a limit to what you can do, emotionally, practically, and financially. Find the strategies that work for you, and don't burden yourself with the others. The right strategies are also the ones that work for you at that moment of your life. Some issues require immediate attention, and others can't be addressed right now. Realize that raising your child is a process, and part of the work involves recognizing your limitations and forgiving yourself for being human. When the time is right, you'll get to the strategies and stages that work for you and your child. In the process, some things may have to slide. For example, if you're facing high medical and other costs for one child, you may not be able to afford braces for your other one. If you're dealing with trying to get your teen to school, you may not be able to teach her to get dressed on her own. Prioritize what seems important and forgive yourself for not getting to the other tasks right now. There are some messages that I will return to more than once in the following chapters as I describe the path of your child's development at a more granular level. I hope that you can internalize these messages as you listen and as you continue along your parenting journey. Feel free to come back to these chapters anytime you need encouragement. Message number 1. Challenging years can also be years of growth. Kids do not always present with a linear path of development. Although this is true of all kids, it is particularly true of kids on the autism spectrum. As they grow older, kids with autism may develop a split between their intellectual skills and their life skills. This might be confusing for you as a parent, as you know in your gut that your child is capable of so much more, but doesn't seem to be able to thrive in everyday situations. You aren't wrong. The discrepancy between intellectual and practical skills can be frustrating, as your child might be able to carry out amazing tasks, such as multiplying three-digit numbers in her head, while not being able to tie her shoes. Just because your child still struggles in certain areas, it doesn't mean she isn't growing. Even struggles represent growth, not stasis or staying the same. In recognizing what your child continues to need to work on as she progresses through adolescence, note what she is doing well and the ways she has progressed. It can be difficult to recognize progress when children seem to struggle with such basic skills as using money, taking transportation, or dressing themselves. It can also be tempting to compare your children with neurotypical children, children who aren't on the autism spectrum, or who don't present with another form of neurodiversity or difference in a way of functioning and thinking, for whom some of these skills can be so easy. However, resist the temptation to equate difficulty with hopelessness or to lose sight of what your kids are good at. You've likely already measured growth for your child by comparing her with the way she was in previous years instead of comparing her with other children, and that's a great skill to continue. Think about your child's growth relative to what he or she did before. There will be growth, even if there are moments when it seems like your child is moving backward. Message number 2. Honor the struggle. Just because I'm encouraging you to look at your child's growth in a relative way, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't acknowledge the very real struggles that you and your children are going through. Pre-adolescence and adolescence in particular can be times of great struggle for children on the spectrum and their parents, though not necessarily for everyone. By suggesting that you honor the struggle, I mean that you should acknowledge how hard this time can be for you and your kids. Be kind to yourself and them as you go through these difficult times. Recognize that while it isn't always easy, your child's struggle may represent growth. Her willingness to embrace new challenges, become more independent, and engage with others represents growth, even though these efforts might also bring complications. For example, many children with autism become more willing to understand social interactions and complications as they grow older. This represents true growth, but it also means that they also might become very frustrated as they come out of their shell and try to make sense of the world. Seeing struggle as progress may help as you go through these times of readjustment with your child. Message number 3. Honor your instincts as a parent. You know more about your child than so-called experts. You are in the best position to know what your child needs and the people he or she should work with. Although you can call on experts, you will be a vital part of the process of helping your child and figuring out what she needs. Trust yourself. If you sense something isn't working, honor your instinct. If a person you're working with isn't taking the time to know your child and her history, consider switching to someone who will acknowledge your perspective as a parent and work with you as a partner. As more and more professionals are trained to work with autism spectrum disorders, you can find someone who understands the particular struggles and triumphs of a child on the spectrum and those of her family. Message number 4. You are a person too. It's easier said than done, but if you are fortunate enough to have a partner, spouse, parent, friend, or trusted babysitter who can help you, call on that person. Carve out time for yourself. And when you're away from your child, don't spend the time making phone calls on his or her behalf or ruminating about his or her future. Instead, spend the time truly relaxing and being a person, whether that means sitting in a hammock reading or, because it's great to keep a bucket list, skydiving. Many parents are tempted to spend their free time writing their son's IEP, Individualized Education Program, or calling their daughter's ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis Therapist. Don't if you can possibly manage it. This can be difficult for parents who have to work, not to mention parents who have to work multiple jobs, and those who are parenting solo. The chapters that follow will help you identify resources, many of them free, that can help you. Surround yourself with people who understand. That means you might decide not to be around families who don't get your child. Find people who have children on the spectrum or who are sympathetic to its struggles. You'll feel empowered if you do, and you'll have sources of strength and people to call on in moments of crisis. Mindfulness training can also be a way to relish the present and to step back and see your child and yourself in a non-judgmental way. Chapter 8 includes more details about how to help yourself, and in doing so, help your child. Message number 5. There are people who can help. One of the most difficult things about parenting a child on the spectrum is that it can be very isolating. If you have a child who tends to throw tantrums or who can be aggressive, it can be hard to find social outlets. As a result, parents might feel that they are locked in their house. However, just as parents need to get out of the house when they can, they also need to find people they trust. The world of autism has changed in recent years so that there are doctors, therapists, and even dentists who are knowledgeable about children on the spectrum and who are set up to help them. You don't need to work with people who don't understand, and you can get the help you need. Each step of the way, you can find people who understand your child and who won't, for example, gasp when your child has a tantrum in the waiting room or can't floss her own teeth. There are more and more children with special needs and professionals who are trained to help them. Don't settle for good enough. There are people who will not only accept your child but also celebrate his or her strengths. These are the people you should work with and who will make you feel less alone. In addition, there are more and more parents like you, eager to find a world in which people who are not neurotypical can feel comfortable. You are not alone. Message number 6. We're discovering new things every day. There's hope. One of the most exciting things about the world of autism spectrum disorders is that researchers and those who provide services are making new discoveries every day. In addition, as more and more kids who were diagnosed with autism as young children enter adulthood and are the beneficiaries of proven, validated treatments, we have a better sense of what they are capable of. There are now better services for young adults on the spectrum, including assistance in the transition to independent living. And there are even employers who understand the benefits of employing people at all levels of the autism spectrum. Kids are being educated in what autism is. There is now even a character on Sesame Street with autism, and these kids will bring this understanding with them as they get older. Try not to see your child's situation as static. What he is today is not necessarily what he will be over time. Message number 7. Exist in the moment. At the same time that you plan for your child's future and work as her advocate, try to exist in the moment. Children on the spectrum have a way of seeing things that few other people do. Relish their perspective, whether it's spelling words backwards or figuring out how to paint their toenails. Your child is refreshing and able to appreciate the world in a unique way. Perhaps, for example, he loves the way trucks sound or can bounce for an hour without stopping on a trampoline. Take snapshots, both visual and mental, as your kids remind you of what it's like to exist in the moment. Mindfulness techniques, including meditation, can help you slow down and quiet your own thoughts so that you are more present for your child. What's in the rest of the book? The chapters that follow will help you understand the different facets of your child's existence as they move through adolescence and young adulthood, and how you can help him at each stage. Chapter 2 provides an overview of the ways in which autism and adolescence intersect, and the struggles and triumphs that many adolescents and young adults on the spectrum experience. Chapters 3, 4, and 5 cover the academic, social, and medical aspects of raising teenagers and young adults with autism, respectively, and each chapter contains stories of real parents and teens on the spectrum, as well as practical parenting strategies that are also recapped at the end of each chapter. Names of individuals have been changed or removed to protect their confidentiality, and some stories are composites of the experiences of real people. Chapters 6 and 7 include strategies for how to help your child with self-care and independence, and how to help them move toward young adulthood. Chapter 8 gives information and strategies about how you can take care of yourself as a parent, because by taking care of yourself, you will be taking care of your child. In each chapter, I discuss the ways in which your child's development may be affecting you as a parent, because your interactions and experience are vital to the life and experience of your child. I also suggest a few practical things you can do to help your child manage the life changes he or she is going through during adolescence and early adulthood. 2. What it looks like when autism and adolescence intersect. When Alex, a boy with high-functioning autism, turned 12, he started to worry. He couldn't quite pin down why he was so anxious, but he noticed he was outgrowing his clothing. When his dad explained that Alex would soon have a growth spurt, Alex imagined his clothing suddenly ripping apart and falling off. He wondered if he'd still be able to fit into his bed when the growth spurt happened. He also noticed that movies showed that teenagers had romantic partners. His dad told him that dating was for people over 16, so Alex made definite plans to have a girlfriend on the day after his 16th birthday. When Madison became a teenager, she went from doing well in school and being a peaceful kid who followed the rules to being someone who became enraged and struck her siblings. Her parents did not understand her rage until they realized, after consulting a doctor, that she had developed obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD, which filled her mind with anxiety and the need to act out, to rid herself of her need to repeat words and actions. Her psychiatrist said that while Madison had always struggled with some obsessions and compulsions, some of these symptoms had worsened with the onset of puberty. Brain and body factors that affect spectrum teens. In the introductory story, Alex exhibits many of the wonderful eccentricities that some teens on the autism spectrum share. Although many teens with autism can easily master the biology behind the changes of adolescence, the more nuanced details of the social and emotional changes they will go through are a bit more perplexing. However, spectrum teens may be able to weather the changes of adolescence with good grace, and this can be a time of considerable growth in maturity and skills. On the other hand, Madison's experience exemplifies the often rocky nature of adolescence on the spectrum when the hormonal, psychological, and physical changes it brings can worsen psychiatric problems and cause teens and their parents significant distress. This chapter will help you guide your teen as he or she faces the psychological changes that adolescence brings. The path of each child through adolescence is different. For many kids on the spectrum, adolescence is a time of great maturation and improved functioning. After receiving interventions such as social skills training and organizational help, some children on the spectrum are ready to thrive as they move into their teen years. However, some studies and anecdotal reports have found that adolescence is a time when behavioral and psychiatric issues for many kids on the spectrum spike. The reasons for this may stem from brain and body chemistry. Researchers such as Blythe Corbett and Tony Simon at the UC Davis Mind Institute have found that adolescents on the spectrum have a higher base rate of cortisol in their systems. Cortisol is a hormone that the body secretes as part of the so-called fight-or-flight response, and its elevation indicates that the body is under a significant degree of stress. Cortisol may have served a purpose in prehistoric times, as it readied the body for the speed it would need to either battle or flee an approaching angry mastodon. However, a higher level of cortisol in spectrum teens means that their bodies are always in a state of arousal and stress, leading to increased dysregulation. In addition, approximately one quarter of people on the spectrum begin to have seizures during adolescence. Rates in some studies have varied from 22% to 38%. Seizure activity can be difficult to detect. Teens may show the effect of seizures through aggression or behavioral dysregulation rather than convulsions. Dysregulation refers to behavior that is outside the conventionally accepted range of behaviors. For example, hitting in response to stress is considered a form of dysregulation. Teens who are experiencing seizures might also show academic or cognitive declines. Seizures can be detected through an electroencephalogram, or EEG, and must be treated. Even though most autistic teenagers do not have seizures, it's important to be alert to this possibility and seek help if you suspect seizure activity. The practical result of this type of bodily stress is the behavior we expect from most teens: mood changes and increased emotional sensitivity. However, there are also challenges specific to spectrum kids, including increased sensory arousal, significant psychiatric issues, and behavioral challenges. For teens with autism who can't voice or can't name their confusion over the difficulties they encounter in increasingly complex social situations, the situation can become even more inflamed. As a result of the changing nature of adolescents' bodies and brains, many psychiatric conditions can either appear or worsen during the teen years, particularly for teens on the spectrum. This does not mean that your child will develop these issues, as many spectrum teens show better functioning in adolescence than they did during early childhood or the elementary school years. However, some teens on the spectrum develop psychiatric conditions or symptoms for which they need professional help. For example, many children with autism struggle with repetitive behaviors and speech, which are core features of autism, but they may also develop full-blown OCD. OCD can develop at any age, but it can be common for pre-adolescents or early adolescents to show symptoms. Although it is difficult at times to distinguish between autism and OCD, as many of the symptoms are similar, there is also a higher risk for teens with autism to develop full-fledged OCD. Because teens on the spectrum sometimes feel socially isolated from their typically developing peers, their risk for depression and anxiety grows. And it's important as parents to be aware of symptoms that could indicate depression or anxiety. These can include loss of interest in activities that your child normally enjoys, or changes in sleeping or eating patterns. For girls on the spectrum, menstruation can also bring hormonal changes that result in obsessiveness, aggression, and/or anxiety. Chapter 6 includes more details about changes you may see when your daughter gets her period. Teens who do not receive help for these issues may try to cope with them through aggression or through dangerous behaviors, such as illicit drug and alcohol use. Although each teen's path to early adulthood is different, and there are many spectrum teens who stay mentally healthy and who flourish in adolescence, it is important to work with a doctor who is sensitive to your child and who knows about autism. It can be tricky to distinguish between the normal symptoms of autism and coexisting conditions, such as OCD or anxiety, so the physician you choose should be a good listener and well-trained in autism. In Chapter 5, there is more information about working with doctors and other professionals during your child's teen years. The theory of mind and spectrum teens. In addition to going through brain and body changes, teens face an increasingly complex social world. Higher-functioning teens on the spectrum might be more aware of the social stresses that surround them, and the ways in which they feel socially isolated from neurotypical peers. Even though they might appear less mature than their neurotypical peers, they still have the same desires and confusions as everyone else. However, most teens on the spectrum lack the social intuition that can help guide them through these situations, making them more anxiety-provoking. Spectrum teens' misunderstanding of the way maturation works may complicate the situation even more. For example, while all teens struggle to understand how they are going to grow up to be adults and how their bodies will slowly change, spectrum teens may show less intuition about the way maturation works. Alex, in the anecdote that began this chapter, was a 12-year-old boy on the spectrum who thought that he would be able to acquire a girlfriend the day after his 16th birthday. And he was significantly worried about being able to fit into his bed after what he expected would be an overnight growth spurt. Spectrum teens who also wonder about their sexuality or whose sexuality is contrary to what is accepted by their families or extended social network may suffer additional stresses. Just as many neurotypical teens who are gay, lesbian, transgender, or bisexual do. Preteens and teens on the spectrum might have been exposed to sex education in their health classes and might understand the biological realities of their maturation, such as that they will grow facial hair or develop breasts. But they might not understand the deeper realities related to these changes. In part, this situation is a result of their slower development or relatively immature development of executive function skills. These skills, including the ability to regulate behavior and function in a cognitively flexible way, help children and adolescents develop the ability to deal with ever-changing complicated social situations. Many researchers, such as Elizabeth Liz Pelicano, believe that there is a connection between the immature state of executive function skills and the lack of development of what is called the theory of mind. This is the idea that people with autism do not always understand that other people have different beliefs and thoughts than they do. In other words, people with autism tend to assume that other people think exactly as they do, and some researchers, such as Simon Baron Cohen, one of the top scientists in the field of autism, believe that the theory of mind is the central or defining feature of autism. The maturation of one's executive functions, which are controlled largely by the decision-making front part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex, is essential to beginning to understand the complex social relationships that begin to develop during adolescence. Therefore, the cognitive and social stresses that teens face as they think about how they will mature, develop romantic relationships, and fit in with their peers may be compounded in spectrum teens by physiological and brain factors. Teens on the autism spectrum may experience added stress and show increased receptivity to stress. In addition, outlets such as voicing their fears and worries may not be available to them, as they can't always express themselves or understand how they are feeling. This all adds up to stress, for which spectrum teens may seek outlets such as aggression toward family members, the use of drugs or alcohol, or the escape into endless video games. Chapters 4 and 6 have information to help you deal with these challenges. The light at the end of the proverbial tunnel. Eventually, although adolescence for some people on the spectrum can be a time of great difficulty, cognitive development will help some spectrum teens as they age. In general, teens who struggle with symptoms of ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, such as hyperactivity, impulsivity, and inattentiveness, as many people on the spectrum do, will tend to show improvement in these areas, according to researchers such as Russell Barkley. Researchers have found that over time, symptoms of hyperactivity in ADHD slowly ebb, and that about one-third of adults who were diagnosed with ADHD as children will not meet criteria for ADHD in adulthood. Development of the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that helps people with decision-making and judgment, a process that many researchers believe does not end in adolescence, but continues well into young adulthood, will help many teens on the spectrum.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?